this dry sanctuary. I trust this weekend that you will, if you've not already, had a chance to go down to Willington Church and go through the Compassion Mobile experience. It's a fantastic opportunity for you, your family, your friends, to take a trip around the world without having to buy an airplane ticket. So it's free, and it's there for the rest of today, I think even maybe tomorrow. And so it takes 20 minutes to go through, and it's a very interesting experience, so I invite you and encourage you to do that. Let's pray together and invite God to speak to our hearts this morning. Father, we open our hearts to hear your word, and we open your word so that we might learn from you. So we pray that this morning, Lord, you would speak to us and that we would have a better understanding of your own precious heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about God's heart for the poor. And I invite you to take a different look at poverty this morning. Most, if you're like most Christians and most Canadians, mostly what we learn about poverty, we've learned through the media. We've learned through television commercials and advertising and marketing campaigns. But I'm here to tell you this morning that most of that is not what the Bible has to say about poverty. The Bible has a lot to say about poverty. And so this morning, I want to direct your attention in a different way so that we can understand God's heart for the poor. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Jay. I love Jay's hair. The older I get, the less I have. And so every time I'm around him, I want to take scissors and cut and stick some on my head. But he's wise to me now. He doesn't stand still. Jay was born and raised in one of the worst slums in the world, the slum of Mathari Valley in Nairobi, Kenya. He, like so many children raised in that slum, were very, very poor. And he had to steal just to survive. He had to steal food or steal things to sell and buy food. When he was just 8 years old, he was arrested for the first time and actually put in jail, 8 years old, put in jail for petty crimes. He was on the road to destruction, self-destruction, and he would have ended up like most of the children raised in that notorious slum. But God had a different plan. And when he was just 9 and a half years old, he was registered in a compassion program in a local church there in the slum. He was connected to a caring sponsor like you, and he found Jesus Christ as his Savior. So fast forward today, you have a great young man who is on fire for God. He is a professional radio DJ, and he has a ministry, a broadcasting ministry, and he is sharing the love of Christ to thousands of people. That is a miracle. That is not the result of money. That is the result of the power of the gospel. The gospel and the gospel alone changes us. All the other things we do to try and alleviate poverty are all good and they're all necessary. But the gospel is the change agent. The others complement what the gospel teaches us. Let me draw your attention to the New Testament book of Luke. One of my favorite passages in the whole scripture, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, as he did routinely, as he walked and traveled around the area, every Saturday, every Sabbath, he would go into the local synagogue. The local synagogue was like a house church. He would go into the local synagogue and he would worship. And because he was considered to be kind of a rabbi and a teacher, he would often be asked to read the scripture. And then he would often be given the opportunity to then preach or to teach from the scripture. On this particular day in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he was handed the scroll of Isaiah. And he rolled it open to a particular verse and read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free. Now, the context of this scripture is important because in Jesus' day, most people were poor. In fact, statistics tell us and history tells us that up to 80% of the people in Jesus' area, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Nazareth, all of that part of the world, were poor, just like in the developing or third world. Poverty was rampant. And so when Jesus said the word poor, he got people's attention because they were either poor themselves, those sitting in the synagogue, or they knew a lot of poor people. And so they immediately began to wonder, what is this good news? Is this good news foreign aid? Is this good news relief? Is this good news community development? Is it food aid? Is it health care or education? But Jesus had a different definition for the good news. If you continue to read in the book of Luke, and in fact, if you read anywhere in the New Testament, you will find that this good news was actually the gospel of Jesus Christ. The very reason that he came from heaven to earth, to bring the good news of the gospel. Because the gospel is the only antidote to poverty. All the other things that we do are band-aids at best. They are acts of love and kindness, and we need to do them. But they never change someone's eternal destiny. They make life easier, they make things better, but they also fade away as quickly as they arrive. Only the gospel does permanent damage to poverty and changes the destiny of an individual. George Barna, the very famous Christian researcher, said this: in human development, there is no more critical time frame than the first 15 years of life. Well, what's that got to do with poverty? Stay with me, and let's take this journey together. There is no greater mission field than the hearts of children, whether it's here in this part of the world, in Canada, in Western Canada, or where I live in London, Ontario, or whether it's in Africa, Asia, Latin America, the East, or wherever. There is no greater mission field than the hearts of our children. The enemy of our soul, Satan, actually sees each child with a target on their heart. His strategy, his plan, is to destroy the hearts and the souls of children. Jesus understood this. That's why Jesus gave so much attention to children. Spiritual warfare actually targets children. And we as a church and we as families, we must not, we cannot ignore this. Now I want to take you back to the first book of the Bible. I said we were going to look at poverty differently. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. I'm not going to take time to read it, but I'm sure you all know the story of Genesis chapter 1, the story of creation. God created the world and everything that was in the world. In this new world that God created, the concept of poverty did not exist. There was no word in their vocabulary for poverty. In fact, there was no word for need because God provided everything mankind needed. Everything. Adam and Eve lived the life of Riley, we would say. They did not have to work. The hardest job Adam had to do was to name the animals. And I'm sure he didn't break a sweat doing that. Everything Adam and Eve needed, God provided. No concept of poverty existed. But then something tragic happened. Adam and Eve sinned. They ate the forbidden fruit. And with every action, there is a reaction. And the reaction from God was very, very swift. The curse followed Adam and Eve's sin. And the picture I have on the screen is that image of what the curse was all about. Thorns began to grow, and instead of just going out and picking food to eat, now Adam and Eve had to work and dig the soil. And you know all the implications of that, from childbirth to relationships being destroyed between Adam and Eve and between Adam and Eve and God. Before the fall, there was no poverty. But after that sin, we call the fall of man, after that sin, poverty became the default setting of the entire world. Most of us know the story to this point, but let me move further. Poverty didn't just happen that day when Adam and Eve sinned, and then everybody goes, okay, I guess that's the new normal. Poverty became a very strategic tool in Satan's hands. You see, in the creation process, Satan saw that God loved one particular part of creation more than anything else. Do you know what that was? It was you and me. It was mankind. Because the Bible tells us that when God made Adam and Eve, he used a different formula. He made Adam and Eve in his very own image. And Satan observed that God loved Adam and Eve and this part of creation more than anything else. Now remember, Satan was an enemy to God, and God was his enemy. Satan was cast out of heaven, and he determined to get even with God. To this point, he couldn't find any way to get even. But in the creation process, he saw an opportunity. He saw that God had a weakness, if you will. That weakness was he loved humans more than anything else he created. So Satan began to create his strategy. His strategy was to hurt and destroy God's favorite creation. Some of you here are parents, some grandparents. Can you imagine how you would feel if someone attacked your child or your grandchild? I've got two daughters and I've got two granddaughters. They're 7 and 8. If you come close to them to hurt them, you're going to have to deal with me. It's not going to be pretty. You're the same way. No one touches your children. They are your prize, your pride and joy. They are your image. And so God felt the same way about his children. And Satan knew that. So he began his conniving to try and destroy God's favorite creation. And so he begins very young. In fact, Satan figured it out pretty quickly that the younger he can destroy human beings, the more successful he is. So he starts off even before birth with abortion. Many, many children die from abortion. If that you happen to survive abortion and live, then Satan pulls out other tools. Child abuse and child neglect. These are all sinister tools of Satan. And then Satan figured out a very, very powerful tool called poverty. And so Satan uses poverty to destroy the hearts and minds of children. Remember, his strategy is to destroy human beings early in life, before they get a chance to get their hearts set on God, before they get a chance to do any spiritual damage to his kingdom. He wants to destroy them. And so poverty is most effective with children, because the message poverty brings children is, you're no good. You don't matter. God doesn't love you. You'll never amount to anything. Those are messages strategically placed in the hearts and minds of little children all around the world. Poverty is a spiritual war. And therefore, the answer to poverty is not more money. The answer to poverty is a spiritual answer. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that good news that Luke chapter 4 talks about. Ministry to children is actually the front lines of this spiritual war. When a child comprehends that God loves them, their divine potential is unleashed. Think about it. If a child in poverty, hearing all these messages about how worthless they are, if they begin to understand, maybe at the foot of a Sunday school teacher, maybe in the Compassion Church program, they hear for the first time, God really loves you. God has a plan for your life. When they begin to understand that, they take their first step out of poverty. So our challenge as the church is to impact young children while they're still able to hope and dream, before that hope and that dream is beat out of them by poverty. Satan has a plan. I've explained it to you briefly, but here's the good news. God has a plan too. And God's plan is the local church. That's how God intends to win this war on poverty. The gospel is proclaimed through the local church around the world. There are churches everywhere on this planet. And today, here, as well as all around the world, the gospel is being proclaimed and lives are being changed. That's why with Compassion's ministry, we only partner with churches, because that's God's plan. Therefore, we make it our plan. That's why every child, every sponsored child in Compassion's program comes to a local church to receive the Compassion ministry. Every child is given an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we feed children. We feed over 2 million children every day. We clothe children. We give children education. We provide nutrition, water, health care. We do all of that. Jesus did that too. But Jesus did not come to earth to provide food and health care. Jesus came to bring the gospel, the good news of the gospel. Why then did he do all these other things? Just like, why do we do them? Because we love the people we are bringing the gospel to. If you don't love people, you shouldn't be evangelizing them. And if you are evangelizing them and they have needs, then we ought to meet those needs. But meeting those other needs should not be our main strategy. Our main strategy, like Jesus, was to bring the good news to the poor, because it's that gospel, it's that Christ in us that is going to make the difference. I told you about Jay, my friend with the long hair. Let me show you another man that has an incredible story. This is Pastor Arnell and his three sons. Pastor Arnell grew up in one of the most notorious slums in Manila, Philippines. He was a gangster. He was a drug addict, a drunkard, a womanizer. These are his own words. This is how he describes his life. People were afraid of him. He'd get drunk and he'd beat up his wife and beat up his children, and he'd take all of his money and buy alcohol and drugs with it. He was just an angry, angry man. Because he used all the money that he had to buy alcohol and drugs, his family were destitute, poor, no food, no hope of going to school. So when Compassion joined with a church in that slum, we began a Compassion program. His three children were one of the first to be registered because they were so poor. They were just young. There, coming to the church program, they learned that Jesus loved them for the first time in their life. And one by one, they accepted Christ. And eventually, they convinced their mother to come to church, and she accepted Christ. The father wouldn't come for a long time, for several years. But one day, he gave in, and he came to church, and he accepted Christ. You know what he's doing now? He's the pastor of that very church. There he is preaching, and he is an incredible preacher. That church has grown to over 500 people. And now, instead of wandering through the streets of that slum and people being afraid of him, he wanders through the streets of the slum with the Bible, and he preaches the word of God. He is still fearless. Nothing frightens him. Just like when he was a gangster, he was not afraid of anyone else. Now I call him a Christian gangster. He's a gangster for Jesus. And he's just going out. And his ministry is expanding, and people are coming to Christ, not only in that slum, but in other areas of the city and the region. That kind of transformation does not happen by foreign aid. It doesn't happen by community development work. It only happens through the power of the gospel. You are never too young to matter. These children of Pastor Arnell came to Christ, and through them, God changed an entire family and an entire area of people. Hundreds of people came to Christ as a result. This weekend, we are calling you to fulfill Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18. The Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you can be a missionary to a child through Compassion's program. Some of you are already sponsoring here, and thank you for that, and bless you. I've got the photograph here of a little girl from Honduras. Her name is Alexandria, and she is one, like Pastor Arnell's children, she is one of those children that Satan has targeted through poverty. And I'm inviting you to become a sponsor to her or one of those children out in the foyer on the table, so that you can join with us and join the churches around the world, some 7,000 churches where Compassion has ministry centers around the developing world. And you can bring children to Christ every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Children and their families are coming to Christ. Over 500 a day are coming to Christ. That's the power of the gospel. That's the strategy that Christ invented, the strategy of ministry through the local church, bringing the most essential cure to poverty, which is the gospel. We need to invest locally here, invest in your own families, the children in your families, in your church, in your community, and we need to invest globally. You can do that through becoming a missionary to a child through Compassion. So when this service is over, I invite you to go meet my friends out at the table in the foyer. Take your own child home with you today. Don't just sponsor them. We don't just want $41 a month. We want you to be their mentor. Be a missionary to them. We want you to pray for them daily. We want you to write letters and tell them that God loves them, that you love them, that God has a plan for their life. You see, you're part of the strategy to combat the lies of poverty. So when they hear every day you're no good, they get a letter from their sponsor saying, you are good. When they hear every day through poverty, nobody loves you, they get a letter from you saying, I love you, and don't forget, God loves you. They come to the church, to the Compassion program, and their Christians are saying, we love you, and God loves you. So you're, as a sponsor, you're part of that strategy that God has to alleviate the effects of poverty around the world. I invite you to take that challenge today. Maybe you can't alone. Maybe a couple of you could share your resources together and sponsor a child. But you will be absolutely amazed at the difference you will make in their lives and in their communities. Like Jay, like Pastor Arnell and his family, the impact goes far beyond one child. God bless you.